Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel says the DoD fleet of A-10 jet fighters can't survive long-term budget cuts, but Congress is not yet ready to write them out of the defense budget, so the Pentagon will need to find a different way to pay for the A-10 fleet. Lieutenant Colonel Dan Ward of the Air Force is writing about ways to save the A-10 using some simple math. He's writing in Breaking Defense, and his views are his own, not the views of the Defense Department or the Air Force. Colonel, it's a pleasure to have you on the program this afternoon. This starts out in your piece looking like a math problem, but as we dig deeper into it, it's not just a math problem. Talk about the numbers and the differentiation between the A-10 and the F-35. Thank you for being on with me today, sir.
Hey, Francis, thanks so much for having me on. It's great to be here. And you're right, this did start off as basically a fairly straightforward math problem when there was suggested we could save $4.2 billion by retiring the A-10 attack jet. That sounded like a lot of money and important savings. But then Congress said no, and that left an interesting question on the table. So I was curious, what would happen if we looked at taking that money from the Joint Strike Fighter instead? Now, I'm an engineer, so I collected some data. I made a little spreadsheet and published my findings right there at Breaking Defense.
We have a link to that at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth later this afternoon. Spreadsheets, unfortunately, don't show up very well on the radio, sir. But as we look at the numbers, you quote the Government Accountability Office writing that acquisition funding for the JSF averages $12.6 billion annually through 2036. Total investment nearing $400 billion to develop and procure 2,457 aircraft through 2037. And you point out that's 1% of the total $400 billion JSF investment is necessary to keep the A-10s in the air.
Sure. So it's interesting that there's no single price for a Joint Strike Fighter. It really depends on which model we're talking about. There's the A, the B, and the C. It also depends on sort of who you ask and how they crunch the numbers, what figures and what costs they include and which ones they leave out. And that's okay. So what I did was I collected a range of high prices and low prices between either $83 million a pop on the low end up to $377 million. That's the high-end estimate for the most expensive variant. And so if you sort of, again, do the math here, a $4.2 billion cut means we'd have to give up between 12 and 50 Joint Strike Fighters, somewhere in that range. I'm not sure any of these numbers are, 100% accurate, but it's a pretty decent estimate of a range. And that's close to, on the high end, 50 Joint Strike Fighters is about 2% of the total fleet. On the low end, it's an even smaller percentage.
The fact, as you point out, and correctly, I think, that none of these numbers are 100% confirmable, maybe that's part of the problem. I mean, I look at the range that you cite, and the DOD's range is in one area. You quote my friend Winslow Wheeler on the other end, and he is a tremendous critic of the JSF, and there are some folks that have looked at his numbers and say they're extremely high, and in some cases unjustifiably high. But that's part of the problem, it seems to me, is that we this far into the program, we still don't know for sure, Colonel.
Sure. And that's sort of reading between the lines. One of the sub-messages of my piece is that, gosh, there's a really broad range of price estimates for what it costs for a Joint Strike Fighter. And if we were to, say, buy one more fighter, there's surely some cost associated with that. If we were to buy one less, there's a cost associated with that. But there's not a clear consensus on what those dollar figures would be. And again, the low numbers, the low estimates of $83 million, probably lower than what it would actually be. $377 million, probably higher than what it actually would be. So again, somewhere in that range. And that's what I was looking to do, was to scope out some of the ranges and put some numbers on the table so we could say, hey, if we were to look for $4.2 billion, where could we get that money from? What would be the impact in terms of our national defense posture? What would make us stronger and safer? And again, we're talking about tens of Joint Strike Fighters as opposed to 326 A-10s. If we were to take that fleet down from 326 down to zero, that's one way to get $4.2 billion. Or 2%, 1 to 2% cut of the Joint Strike Fighter fleet. That's another way to get that same amount of money.
Air Force Lieutenant Colonel Dan Ward is writing in Breaking Defense about the A-10 and the F-35. His views are his own, not the views of DOD or the Air Force. We've talked about the numbers a little bit so far, Colonel. The capability, though, is also a consideration. Do we have a sense of what keeping those 300 and some A-10s and foregoing anywhere between a dozen and 50 JSFs would do vis-a-vis capability, not just for the Air Force, but for the broader military?
Sure, and I think that's a fair and important question to ask. You know, which situation is going to leave us in a stronger and safer position? Again, getting rid of 100% of our A-10s or getting rid of, you know, 1% to 2% of the Joint Strike Fighters? I think that's a really important question that needs to be on the table. I don't have a firm answer from that. A lot of the people I've heard from in the field, colleagues and friends who are in Afghanistan and, you know, other hotspots around the world, they have a lot of nice things to say about the A-10. They really like it. But obviously there's a lot of more than math involved in making this type of judgment and this type of assessment. And again, that'll be a topic for a whole other article, I'm sure.
And you point that out in this piece in Breaking Defense. You write, decisions about which aircraft to keep and which to get rid of aren't purely military in nature. They're also economic, political, and geopolitical. But then you point out the primary reason to get rid of the A-10 is to save that $4.2 billion a year.
Right, that was the primary reason that was given. I mean, the A-10 has had a fairly long history of being offered up on the chopping block as a way to save money. But the most recent round of putting it out there, the main explanation that I heard and that I read and that I found in my research was primarily to save that $4.2 billion.
As this moves forward, what do you expect to see? Do you have a sense of how this will be looked at? Do you believe it will be primarily political? Will it be primarily capabilities, or will it be primarily the dollars?
Well, I'm pretty terrible at making predictions.
Aren't we all, I guess?
Yeah. Nobody's good at predicting the future. I think hopefully and ideally all of those elements would get considered in that calculation, because it is a question of money. It is also a question of alliances. It's a question of politics. It's a question of military security and military strength. And I think we need to consider all of those. And really all I aim to do with this little spreadsheet and this little article was to contribute to one piece of that larger conversation.